So Acts chapter 5, let's look there. Acts chapter 5, I'm not going to read you the entire sermon that Peter preached, but we're going to start with Acts chapter 5 here, verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Wow. Took counsel to slay them. You mean they wanted them to die? They wanted to kill them? Yeah. That was their response to preaching. But tell me again that preaching isn't effective. Tell me again, because someone is mad at you or upset with you or angry with what's being preached, that's not effective. According to this, it was effective. What happened? Well, what happened is Peter told them they would obey God rather than man. They're not going to stop preaching. They're going to keep preaching in Jesus' name, whether they like it or not. And then in Acts chapter 7, wow, what a sermon this is. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, verse number 51. I can't read you the whole sermon because it's the history of Israel. And I don't have time to read all 50 of those verses. But you can read those at home, and some of you are very familiar with the story. But this is actually a history of Israel right here is what it is. It's a history of the nation and their apostasy, and they're turning away from God, and they're being called to repentance over and over and over and over again. I mean, he goes into everything in this sermon. Stephen, he doesn't leave anything out here when he preaches this. I mean, he covers the star of your god Remphan and Moloch and everything else. I mean, he covers all their witchcraft, all their Kabbalah stuff, all their wicked stuff that they were doing, all that stuff, all that Talmudic stuff, all the Babylonian junk. He covers it all. He covers it all. Then he gets down to Acts chapter 7, verse number 51. And then he pours it on. He turns it on a little bit hotter. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." So he tells them right off the bat, after he's explained everything to him, he looks at him, he says, "You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." Ouch. "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were angry. They were cut. I call this sermon cut to the heart, the dangers of being cut to the heart and severed with the sword. Because there is a danger in that, to be severed with the sword. Father, I pray you'd bless us now. Help us understand this. Lord Jesus, please help us understand biblical preaching and what it does and the effect that it has. So we would trust the word of God. We would trust the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the previous sermon, I was going to preach the other one first, but I'm going to preach this one to you right now because it's a little bit shorter and the other one's going to go into a little bit longer. So, but these men were cut to the heart. It's different than being pricked in the heart, which we're going to talk about. It's a good thing to be pricked in the heart. Sometimes it can be a good thing to be cut with the heart. And we'll talk about that because there was a man that was a part of that group that the Lord did save. But they were, nevertheless, it says here that they were cut to the heart. Oh, that preaching, that sword that came through. One commentator says it like this, literally, they were sawn through. Through and through. They were stung to the heart, not with compunction nor remorse. They weren't repentant. They were cut to the heart. They were angry. They weren't sorrowful. They didn't have sorrow in their heart. When the word of God is preached, it can cause sorrow in the heart. That sorrow, that godly sorrow, worketh repentance, not to be repented of. That's not what they had. But they were filled with spite and malice and revenge. Did you guys see any of that yesterday? For having the murder of Christ thus brought home to their consciousness in the first feelings of their malice and revenge, they thought of destroying the persons who had witnessed their nefarious conduct. What happens? Yesterday you called them on their sin, and what'd they do? Man, some of them wanted to hurt you. You mentioned their sin, and what'd they want to do? They wanted to fight you, they wanted to hit you, they wanted to bring you down. Why? Because they're cut to the heart. You have to understand something. When people hear Bible preaching, it cuts them. It cuts them to the heart. There's a sharp difference between being pricked in the heart with tears of remorse or godly conviction, which we'll talk about the next hour. But these became full of anger. Anger filled their heart. You ever met people like that? Man, I have. They listen to some of these this preaching. Man, they get mad. They don't get right. They get mad. They don't want to get right. They get angry. Man, I'll tell you what. If somebody tells me the truth, I might be upset that I've been wrong, but I don't want to be upset with them. And I don't want to be upset with the truth. I just want to get right with God if I found out I've been wrong. When they heard that which the Apostle Peter had said, to wit, that they were guilty of murder, that Jesus was raised up, and that he still lived as the Messiah, they were cut to the heart. The word used here properly denotes to cut with a saw. Do you understand that? They felt as if somebody was taking a saw to their heart and gnawing at it and cutting it. Not just agitated with biblical conviction. Oh, no. They felt as if you're the enemy, which you are, and you are sawing them asunder. That's what they felt when they were being preached to. It denotes to cut with a saw as applied to the mind and the heart. It means to be agitated with rage and indignation. I think of that verse yesterday, one of the verses that kept going through my mind. Why do the heathen rage? You just saw people raging. I mean, just flipping out. Man, I saw people doing cartwheels. People just going nuts, women screaming their heads off, big old loudmouth women just screaming their heads off at you, just getting in your face and yelling at you, cracking whips. Somebody had a whip, man, that thing, I didn't know what that was. I thought it was a gun for a minute there when I heard that thing go off. Crack! Where was that person? Was it in front of you? She wanted to whip you. Wow. Man. Whew. But they're cut to the heart, so they're enraged. You see it on the street, and sometimes you and I think, well, we must not be doing things right. Because everybody loved the Catholic guy that was talking to him. All the heathen were talking to the Catholic priest, and they all loved him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They didn't like us, though. They didn't like us at all. They didn't like the message. Why? Because it was tearing at their heart. It was ripping it and it was gnawing it. It was like you were sawing them. You were their enemy and you were sawing their heart. One man says it this way. When used in connection with the heart, it means that the heart is violently agitated and rent with rage. Makes sense, doesn't it? Violently agitated. You seen it? Where you can't reason with people like that. Oh, Stephen must have been wrong, though. Right? He must have been wrong when he preached that message. Or Peter must have been wrong when he preached that message. Because they were agitated to rage. And they were cut to the heart. Another man says it this way. They were cut to the heart as if they were cut asunder with a saw. They were angry and gnashed with their teeth. As if a saw was drawn to and fro, they were filled with rage and madness. So what were they doing? They were gritting their teeth and gnashing their teeth at them. That was yesterday. Gritting their teeth and gnashing. Oh, just gnashing with anger. They say, what good are you doing? Oh, a lot of good. Because you don't understand the Bible out there. You 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Door knockers that run people through a prayer in about 30 seconds and then leave their porch and never talk to them again. Never know what those people did and make those and secure those people a place in hell. Because those people have never been born again. They've never been convicted of their sin. They've never been agitated by the Spirit of God, nor have they been convicted by the Spirit of God. And that's usually the norm with door knockers. Some may be different, but that for the most part, that's what they do. That's what a lot of them do. How do you know? I was one of them, that's why. That's how I know. Yeah, I was one of them. I did it all. I did it hundreds of times. Those people didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't care if they were lost. Yeah, you want to go to heaven, don't you? But never any conviction, any compunction, any remorse, any of that. But no, not even angry. They're not even mad at you. They're not upset at their sin. They don't care that they've sinned against God. But these people were agitated and angry and fierce and full of wrath. That's the two responses to preaching, really. Either cuts you to the heart, leaves you with the feeling of anger because you're being sawn asunder or pricked in the heart. The other one is being pricked in the heart with compunction, sorrow, conviction. I know sometimes we think we must be doing it wrong because people are mad at us. If we just use those loving words, you mean like Stephen did and like Jesus did? He used those such loving words that they crucified him. Like some guy came over to Nate yesterday and started this big, long argument with him and told him basically that you're doing it wrong. And he was a big Christian guy. And I was like, man, if he used that voice out there on that pulpit, it would have been good. If he'd have just preached. But he got into an argument. Nate called him on it. He was getting angry. It's like, how come you're not as passionate about that as you are about preaching as you are about being wrong about an argument? Why don't you get up there and preach? After all, you have a degree in theology. We all know how good that is. This shows that they were in the most vehement rage and tremendously disquieted in mind. For it is borrowed a kind of speech taken from those who are harshly cut in pieces. Their mind, do you understand their minds and their heart are so affected by this preaching? Do you get it? Look at what they did to Stephen. Look how angry they were. He said, you stiff-necked and rebellious. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. And they do, and they know it. And the name of Jesus, I'll tell you what. If you were out there preaching Muhammad yesterday, I guarantee all those people would be giving you high fives. Even if they weren't Muslim. Why? Because the name of Jesus offends. That's why. The name Jesus Christ offends. You don't see anybody cursing Muhammad's name, do you? You don't see anybody cursing in Allah's name, do you? No. Why not? Because you start mentioning that name of Jesus and you start calling men to repentance and you're going to see some people that are cut to the heart, that are angry. They were cut to the heart. They were convulsed with rage. That's what that old sword does, that King James Bible. It cuts to the heart. It cuts and it saws its way through the sinner. Man, you seen it yesterday. You seen it saw its way through sinners. Each time that sword came out and it cut its way through each sinner. And you saw why. When they react, you can see that they're being affected by it. You see they're being... And people say, no, there's no effect to that. Just like you have that scripture sign up there. And you have those signs up there and you hold those signs up there. Those signs don't work. And they're pointing their fingers at their signs and they're gritting their teeth and they're mad. And they're calling you names and they're angry. What do you mean they don't work? Look at the heathen rage. Look at them rage at it. Of course it works. Works because it's God's word. And it cuts. Don't you see? Even though you preach the word of God and the gospel to sinners and they become angry about it, that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It doesn't mean that your preaching is not biblical. It means you're taking it to a people who don't want to hear it. People who know that you are going to preach against their sins. They know you're going to preach against their sins. I mean, people that were just absolutely in a rage, a drunken rage yesterday. They were cut to the heart. They gnashed with their teeth, visibly showing the rage and fury that was within them. By which they were as sawn and divided asunder, malice and rage being a grievous torment to the cruel and malicious. You're a cruel messenger to them. Right? You're a very cruel messenger to them. Why? Because you bring the sword of righteousness and justice and it cuts through and it saws at their heart. And you're a cruel messenger to them. The word of God is cruel words to them. What did Jesus say? Or what did Isaiah say in Isaiah 55:11? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You think it's not only prosperous if they fall down on their knees and repent. Oh, no. That is a good way. And that's the way we always wish. We wish people are pricked in the heart. That's what we pray for, is people be pricked in the heart. But the reality is you are dealing with sinners that are cut to the heart when they hear that preaching. Because I'll guarantee you one thing right now. You're not going to have too many people go preach to those people. You are not going to have too many people go preach to those people. They're not going to want to be around them. Yesterday we saw people dressed up like Japanese animation people. They looked the weirdest, kookiest, scariest, spookiest people you ever meet in your life walking down the street. I mean, it made Comic-Con look tame to me. It was ridiculous. But what happened? What did we see? We're preaching and warning those people to flee. And what do? They get angry. But you see, the word of God is accomplished, though. It accomplishes. It does not return unto him void, but it accomplishes that which it was set out to do. To some, it is to cut them at the heart. To others, it is to prick them and bring repentance. But these were cut to the heart. Just like Stephen when he stood up there. Nothing that Stephen said was untrue. Everything he said was accurate completely. And those people knew it. Those people knew it was accurate. I watched people rage yesterday when they knew it was right. There was one young lady that was mad at me, and she kept getting in my face and yelling at me, and I just stood there and talked to her, and she'd come back forward and she'd say a few things. She'd go back, she'd say a few things. She'd come back forward and she'd say a few things. And I said, "Lady, I'm going to tell you what your real problem is. This is cutting you right to your heart, and you know it. You know you're guilty." She was over in the other way, and she was like, She was fighting and raging so much that she was having tears come out of her eyes. I could see her welling up with tears, and her eyes were all red. Why? Because she was raging against the truth, warring against the truth. It was cutting her, and it continued to cut her. And you know what? We never let the preaching stop the whole day. It just kept going and going and going and going, and we didn't allow anything to distract it. Amen. Why? Because that's what we're there for. All the other stuff was going on. We were trying to deflect all that, trying to calm people down. But that preaching kept going, and we kept preaching them over, and that's what was causing them to rage. It wasn't any comments we were making. We weren't inciting them with any comments we were making on the side. We weren't barbing them to death or anything like that. We weren't having a tit for tat with them on the argument. No, we weren't doing that. We were avoiding most of that. Why? Because the preaching was causing them to rage. And that's what they want to stop. They always want the open air preaching to stop. Always want the open air preaching to stop. Right, exactly. And we are not going to be fooled by that. You keep that preacher up there preaching in that open air because the devils are raging too. They're angry. These were cut to the heart. It seems to imply a more lacerating pain than the prick to the heart, leading not to repentance, but to hatred. See what it leads to? Not to repentance, but to hatred. Both accounts, if you see Stephen, both accounts here of Stephen and Peter, what happened? See, Stephen knew what they were going to do to him. Look what he says to him. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it, And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were angry, and they had murder in their heart, and they wanted to kill him. This kind of cutting does not lead to repentance most of the time. What does it lead to? Hatred. Hatred! Why? Because the law is absolutely cruel, that's why. It's relentless to the sinner. The law will have, there's no give in the law. Do you understand that? None whatsoever. That's why you preach the law to sinners, because there's no give. They are to be made to feel guilty for where they are at. Like your one soul-winning man, your brother Nate and I read, oh, don't make them feel too guilty. You don't want them to feel guilty over their sin. This professional soul-winning manual that guys like Sam Gipp sell in their book table. Now, we don't want them to feel guilty over their sin. We don't want them to feel too guilty. Really? I appreciate Sam Gipp's books on the King James Bible, by the way. But I'm going to tell you something right now. To sell a book that says, I don't want to make sinners feel guilty, has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, one of them. I got a list of those. I really need to make a list of that. Do you realize how foolish that is? What do you mean you don't want them to feel guilty? Of course you want them to be guilty before God. That's the work of the law. That every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. It's the work of the law. No, he doesn't believe in repentance. Absolutely not. And that's why men like that, you won't see doing a lot like that out in the streets. There's others that are in his camp that do, but he doesn't. He doesn't believe in calling men to repentance like that. Doesn't believe in it like that. And neither did this other man that wrote this soul-winning manual. We don't. And be careful what t-shirt you wear, because you might distract them. Be careful about this and be careful about that. Come on, folks. You can tell these people have never been in front of sinners on the street a day in their life. It's ridiculous. We see the same phrase, Stephen's politically correct and crowd pleasing God not. Listen, folks, let me explain something to you. When Stephen preached this sermon, they were angry. Why? Because it cut them. Now, if you want everybody to love you, then don't preach the Bible. And then everybody will love you in some fake hippie love, okay? It's not really biblical. And everybody will be pleased with you. And all men will speak well of you. And if you're really good at it, you can travel around on a big RV and make a lot of money doing it. The word love isn't in the book of Acts. You must not have to love anybody then. What's that? No, that wasn't their message. It was their motive. The message was, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Folks, we realize we go to the most hardened sinners. And we understand that they're cut to the heart with what we preach. But does that mean that we should stop preaching it until they're happy and preach whatever makes them happy? There's enough people helping them get to hell. They don't need anybody else helping them. Look what he said here. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. And ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One. I like that. Somebody asked you next time, what's Jesus' name? Say it's the Just One. That's his name. What color is it? These guys came up to us and asked us like 150 times yesterday. What color is Jesus? What color is Jesus? What color is Jesus? What does it matter? Why does it matter what color he is or was when he was on this earth? Why does that matter? Why is that so important to you? We just turn around back and, well, you're a sinner, you're lost, and you're dying, you're going to hell. That's what matters. Your sin is what matters. And your sin is going to damn you for all of eternity. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were cut to the heart. But that I believe that God and all of his saints will take revenge but everlasting on thee, I would surely with these nails of mine be thy death? Said a friar once in a conference with Mr. Bilney, a martyr. What did he say? He said he wanted to kill him. He said, I'm enjoying this. Another friar of Antwerp, preaching to the people, wished that Luther were there, that he might bite out his throat with his teeth. Well, now. Now, of course, he wanted to do that to Luther because, I'm not a Lutheran, but he wanted to do that to Luther because Luther preached salvation by grace through faith and left Rome. Okay? So when he did that, what happened? Well, that friar wanted to bite his throat out and spit it back at him. Seems like he might have been cut to the heart by something, right? That's a reaction. That is a biblical reaction. When you see people angry on the street, Brother Paul, when we see them, that's a biblical reaction. Why do we believe, and listen, that's hard to take, by the way. When you go in and out and you see that week after week after week after week, that's hard to see. People are constantly angry at you. Every time you preach, they're angry. Everything you say, they're angry. They're angry when you preach the Word of God. They are absolutely angry about it. Plutarch relateth of the tigers that if any one do but strike up in a drum in their ear, they grow stark mad, and so much as at length they tear their own flesh. That's interesting, isn't it? A drum makes a tiger do that? That drum? How about that? So many savage people are extremely disquieted at the hearing of the Word of God, and that merely through their own corruption, like as it is not the tossing in a ship, but the stomach that causes sickness, the choler within, and not the waves without. John Trapp. It's their dirty heart when that sword hits it that really affects them and makes them angry. What happened to these people? They had a pain and uneasiness. They were full of wrath and madness. They could neither bear themselves nor him. They had to destroy him. They could not take it. They had to kill him. And if those people yesterday could have got away with it, that's exactly what they would have done. The only thing that restrained them was the Lord. And we are going to come to a time soon, I believe, where we are going to see men killed here in America. You see the difference in people, what we'll talk about in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when they were pricked in their heart. See, those people felt the nails of the cross in remorse. These people felt the rage of having a nail go through your heart. That's the difference. Pain and uneasiness, they were full of wrath and madness. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why do they rage? Because the word of God is preached to them and they rage over it. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be comfortable and you don't want to be challenged and you don't want to have anybody get upset with you, then you should never go out on the streets and you should never confront people with the word of God like that. Because if you do, they're going to get angry. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I would do this if that happened to me, and I would do this. No, if you're led by the Holy Ghost, you'll do exactly what He tells you to do.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, no, I'd hit him, or I'd do this, or I'd do that. Well, that's why you're not out there. That's why God doesn't have you out there then. Because you're not surrendered to Him. But if you go out there and people spit in your face and they try to fight you and everything else, you do whatever you can not to see that happen. Why? Because that's suffering reproach for Christ's sake. And happy are ye, the Bible says. Happy are ye. They gnashed on him with their teeth. To rage, even to collision with the teeth, they gnashed on him. So mad and angry, they grind their teeth in anger. That's preaching right there, I'm going to tell you. When somebody gets that mad at you, they start grinding their teeth and they're looking at you and they look with you in anger and disgust and malice and rage. That's some good preaching right there. And we seen that yesterday by the grace of God. We said some good preaching yesterday. Amen. Every single one of the men that got up there, they thundered it out and brought the truth out to them. And fearlessly, in the face of all these people, wanted to just pulverize them. And they continued to thunder it out. Psalm 35:16 says, with hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. How many hypocrites were out there yesterday? Just absolute. They accuse you of being a hypocrite, and you're the absolute opposite of that. And that's exactly what they are. They were absolute hypocrites in what they were saying. I mean, I've never met so many people that twist words up that you didn't even say and say the opposite. It's so satanic. It's like the whole crowd was a bunch of witches or something, because they just kept saying, they would reverse everything you said. And they would lie, just like they did with Jesus when Jesus was in his trial. They lied about him and did the same thing. In fact, these hypocritical liars that said we were full of hate, what did they do? I hope you get run over. I hope you go to hell and burn. One lady kept telling us to go play in the street so we get hit by a car. A woman, whatever she was, Jezebel. She kept saying, why don't you go in the street and play with and get run over by a car? Just go ahead and go right on the, you bigots, go on the street, you big. I mean, do you realize how hypocritical that statement is, right? It's just ridiculous. Go play in the street. I just looked at her. I'm like, wow. Why? Because they're raging. But when most people on online see that, because they've never been out on the streets, oh, those guys are doing that wrong. That's really wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. I know, because Stephen, when he preached, he was really wrong. When they got angry and they murdered him and they gnashed on them with their teeth, Stephen was wrong. I'm still looking for that public, that rebuke from God. Oh wait, no, I think Jesus stood up, didn't he? Yeah, I think he stood up! Yeah, I don't remember him rebuking him for that. I remember him opening his arms up and bringing him home. That's seems to be what I remember as I look on it. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. But I don't see where the Lord said, well, Stephen shouldn't have done that. Because they were mad, and your job is to make everybody happy, preacher. By the way, there's a lot of pastors that believe their job is to make everybody happy in the church, too. Everything you say and everything you preach should just be lovely and sweet and kind and wonderful. And you should all love it, because you're such good, loving, kind people that never sin. So you don't need your sins preached against. You just need to be lulled to sleep and be comfortable. Sound about right today? Sound about right today? Listen, if there's one thing that people are good at, it's sinning. Okay? If it's one thing that mankind is good at, it's sinning. They don't need any help with that. What they do need help with is called the repentance. How about that day, though, huh? That man preached that way. No rebuke from God, but they were angry at you. See, that's if you did it more loving, Stephen, if you did it more loving, then they wouldn't have killed you. I know. Leonard Ravenhill said if Jesus preached the same message these preachers preach today, he never would have been crucified. It's true. He said pulpits make pastors famous. Prisons make prophets famous. How about it, huh? True statement, isn't it? Mark chapter 19, verse number 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. What happened to this man? They were gnashing with their teeth. Definitely the signs of a demonic rage, right? People get that angry. Jesus said in Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. Now see, that made him mad. When Jesus said that, that made him very angry. Just like when Stephen said what he said. Just like when Peter said, we would obey God rather than man. No, we're going to keep preaching. We would obey God rather than man.
Amen.
Many people, yes, why don't you just shut up and go home? Just shut up. Go home, you bunch of bigots. Among other colorful choice words. I like this right here. One commentator said, let the reader remark, for it is well worthy to be remarked how very differently the sermon of Stephen's wrought from that of Peter's on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:37. Here the bitterness of their hearts was so great that it could not be concealed, for they gnashed upon him with their teeth. There the blessed contrition which followed showed itself in an earnest cry of the soul. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And doth not the reader immediately discover the cause? Stephen's sermon was not a jot more pointed than Peter's, for in both they were charged with murdering Christ. But the mighty difference in the effect of the preaching arose from the work of God, the Holy Ghost in the one instance, and the want of that almighty work in the other. Here lay all the differences, as Stephen told his auditory, this was the cause all along, with their fathers as with them, resisting the Holy Ghost. And very earnestly beg the reader to consider well the subject. See, when somebody's fighting and resisting the Holy Ghost, that can turn into rage and anger real quick. And it does. But that doesn't make it any less biblical preaching because it does. But that's what many think today. A part of the reason why is because we have so many soft, effeminate preachers in pulpits today. That's part of it. And then part of it, feminism has totally controlled America. And I'm going to tell you why a lot of ladies get upset. Women get upset out there today. Because they've been running their husbands so long, and they've been running this world so long, and they've been running this country so long, and they've been pushing people around for so long, that when men stand up and they are men, they get awful offended at a real man. They get very offended at a man that stands up and speaks boldly and straight for why? Because they're seduced by that Baphomet spirit, that's why. Where they just can't be a woman and they kind of want to be a man. They can't be both, so they just mix it together and they're kind of both. Amen. So they can't submit. They can't allow that. They can't allow that man to rule over them. First it went to the color of Jesus, then it went to, well, I think Jesus was a woman. And he goes, I'm an atheist. No, you're a fool. Why were they so angry? Well, number one, because the apostles had disregarded their command. Stop preaching his name. Boy, that'll make him angry. You see it yesterday, right? Why don't you guys just stop? You don't even know who Jesus is. You don't even know what color Jesus is. You don't know this. I don't believe that book. How do you believe that book anyway? It's not even complete. It's not even all there. It's been changed so many times. Why do you care if it's preaching and why is it bothering you? Why are you so upset if it's just a book? Why do you care? Right? Why do you care if it was just a book? What if I went out there and read the manual from AA? Well, that's okay, because that's just neutral enough to not offend anybody. Where the Bible is very pointed. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing through. Sawing asunder. Number two, they were upset because they got charged with the murder. They knew they were guilty. He brought their sin before them. And number three, because they affirmed the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus and thus tended to overthrow the sect of the Sadducees. Yeah, this same Jesus that you crucified, he is both Lord and God, and he is risen from the dead. And he's coming back with great power and authority. They didn't like that. The sermon, another man said it this way, the sermon of the apostles had just given was identical in all essentials to the one delivered on Pentecost. But the results produced by the declaration of the gospel were opposite in kind. On Pentecost, the people were pricked in the heart, which means they believed. And here the priests were cut to the heart, which means they were infuriated and filled with murderous thoughts. Even the apostles seemed to marvel at such a thing. For it was made the subject of Paul's comment that the gospel saved some and destroyed others. See, you've got to understand this. Not everybody is going to be saved. Some are going to be destroyed by the gospel, and some are going to be saved by it. And when you're out there preaching to hardened sinners right where they're at, some are going to be saved and some are going to be hardened. Some are going to be saved and some will be damned by that gospel. Because remember, the Apostle Paul said, all men will be judged by my gospel. Even the apostles, though they marveled at it, how the treatment of it was. To some, it's a sweet-smelling savor. To others, it's the odor of death. They smell death because it slays them. They will not repent of their sins and turn from their iniquities. But they will continue to rage on against the truth. That doesn't mean we stop warning them. Only go where people want to hear you. Well, that's nowhere. Jesus didn't say, go ye into all the world where everyone wants to hear you and preach there. I didn't see that. That must be in like an NIV or something. I haven't seen that one. What does the Bible say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You mean the ones that don't want to hear it too? Yeah, even those. Especially those. But if they get mad, then you are wrong. Sometimes people have to get mad before they get right. By the way, other men of God preach with the same intensity. I want to read a quote, a couple quotes to you. The God that holds you over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors you and is dreadfully provoked. His wrath towards you burns like fire. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the fire. He has a purer eyes and to bear to have you in his sight. You are 10,000 times more abominable in his eyes than the most hateful venomous serpent is in ours. You have offended him infinitely, more than ever a stubborn rebel did his prince. And yet it is nothing but his hand that holds you from falling into the fire every moment. Be cold, sober, wise, circumspect. Keep yourselves low by the ground, avoiding high questions, said one preacher. Expound the law truly and open the veil of Moses to condemn all flesh and prove all men sinners and set a brooch at the mercy of our Lord Jesus and let wounded consciences drink of him. That was William Tyndale, by the way. The other first one was Jonathan Edwards. But what did he say? He said, keep yourselves low by the ground, avoiding high questions. Don't waste your time with them. What color is Jesus? Not really. But for some people it is, because it matters more. They thought it was. Keeping yourself low by the ground, avoid high questions. Expound the law truly and open the veil of Moses to condemn all flesh. And prove all men sinners. Think about that one. George Whitfield said, it is the poor sermon that gives no offense. It neither makes the hearer displeased with himself nor with the preacher. You see, these men understood having dead, they had dead cats thrown on them. They were dragged off the pulpit by their hair. Some had men pricked in the heart. Like Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God, many were pricked in the heart, convicted, brought to repentance. Others had them rage and grab them, pull their hair off, attempt to drown them in water, beat them, throw dead cat on them, throw rotten food on them, spit on them, burned them to death. Those martyrs, what was wrong with them? That's what they did to Timothy when he saw that procession of idolatry that went on. He rebuked them for their ridiculous idolatry, for their foolish idolatry. What'd they do to him? They killed him. So we see that men will be enraged at the gospel. They'll be cut to the heart, severed by the sword. And they'll lose all sense of control and gnash and get angry. Is the preacher to be blamed? Well, if you can blame him for that, then you must also give him the credit for when conviction comes and someone gets saved. Of course not. He didn't produce the conviction. The Holy Ghost did. Absolutely. And also the Holy Ghost takes that sword and severs their heart with it and produces the same anger. Can't have it both ways. It's the work of God, whether we like it or not. And we are fastly approaching a time where it's going to be hated. You're going to see more people rage. It's going to get worse, not better. It's not going to get better. It's not. But even a severed heart, even a severed heart can be healed. Do you know that? Turn to Acts chapter 7, verse number 58. Even a heart that is cut can be healed. Acts chapter 7, verse number 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You know, there's a young man there named Saul that day. And he was cut to the heart too, just like him. He was in on it with them. This young man held the clothes. Acts chapter 20, verse number 20, or 22, verse number 20 says this. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. And kept the raiment of them that slew him. Hold my coat, boy, while I kill this man. Sure. What was he? Consenting unto his death. He was cut to the heart too. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ can heal a heart too. Amen. That cutting can turn. God can heal that. And that cutting can turn to a prick. That could be healed to a prick. And that could prick the conscience of that person for a very long time. Like it did him. He was cut by that sword, but there was hope. For even those that are even filled with murder in their hearts, like Saul had murder in his heart. For the gospel preachers, he held the cloak, held the clothes of those while Stephen was beaten to death and stoned to death. But those men can be saved by the grace of God. We always think there's no way for some people to be saved, but just because someone becomes so opposed to the gospel in their heart does not mean they cannot be saved. You have no idea what that, you have no idea what that lasting impact of that preaching on that street corner does to somebody. But you and I think if it doesn't get the instant results, well listen, you always get results with preaching. Amen. Always. There is never a time that biblical preaching does not produce results. It always does. Amen. Now it may not be the results that you want, but it always produces results. Amen. Always. They'll either be cut to the heart, or they'll be pricked in their heart, but it does always produce results. Well, how many people did this? I don't know. I don't see their hearts, but I can see some of their actions, and I can tell you that the preaching is affecting them. Yeah, but what good are you doing? Because look, people are mad. They're not listening to you. Yes, they're listening. That's why they're mad. What do you mean they're not? That's stupid. Why would you even say that? Do you realize how dumb you just sounded by saying that? They're mad, but nobody's listening to you. Why are all these people mad if they're not listening? Look at all of them. There's like 30 people out here and they're ready to kill us. What do you mean they're not listening? They're angry. They're gnashing with their teeth. They're gritting their teeth. They're angry. They're screaming profanities at us. They're throwing bottles at us. They were plastic water bottles. They were throwing bottles at us. They were throwing money at us, you know, nickels or whatever. Dirt. They took handfuls of dirt and threw it on Brother Aaron. You gotta be a pretty tough guy to throw dirt at a guy sitting in a wheelchair, right? Man, you're a really tough guy. Yeah. Samuel was standing there having a conversation with somebody. This guy took this kid, I don't know, he's probably 18 or 19 year old kid, took a lit cigarette and flicked it at Samuel's face. Hit him right in the face and then hit him in the arm. Yeah. Yeah. They just know you won't do anything back to them physically. But don't tell me that that's not, well, what good is it if that's happening? I mean, that can't be very good. Well, it was good enough for God to have Stephen do it. It was good enough for Peter to do it. It was good enough for Paul to be stoned. Like Leonard Ravenhill said, the gospel that most of these men preach today, the sermons they preach today, Jesus never would have been crucified. There wouldn't be any martyrs if they preached the way these men preach today. There would not be one of them. And I'm not talking about dressing up like a cow or all these other stuff like Reuben Israel does and go out. That's not preaching. That's just stupid. It's not biblical preaching at all. I'm talking about when that sword cuts you, when you preach that word of God and it cuts them and it cuts them deep. That's an effective preaching. So when you see next time and you see people just rage and get mad, I've had people send me emails where their husbands or their wives can't listen to me because they get angry when they do. Yeah? Why wouldn't they? They just start going into a rage and getting angry. Why wouldn't they? I mean, that's an effective preaching in the Bible. That's an effect of biblical preaching. Why are we so scared to obey God and see those results and be upset because those results come? As if they weren't gonna, as if they're, everybody is gonna love what is said. To some, it's a stench of death. To others, it's a sweet smelling savor, right?
Amen.
I can show you email after email after email of people that say, hey, praise the Lord, I've been edified. God's growing me in my faith from these. Keep putting those preaching videos on. They're an encouragement to us. We're going out street preaching now. I want to go out here and I want to go out there. So see, to some, it's sweet. To others, it smells of death to them. Right? We must accept both results as from the Lord. Do you understand that? And you preachers need to understand that. That you must accept both results. You cannot just have the sweet-smelling savor and not the stench of death results. You cannot just have, on the one hand, the good and not take the bad with it. Because the bad is going to come. That's a result of preaching. The anger, the hate, the wrath, the malice is going to come. If you're preaching the truth, that's going to come. People are going to be angry. People are going to be upset. People are going to want to gnash. They're going to grit their teeth. They're going to want to throw things at you. Look what they did. The only reason why they didn't throw anything harder at us is because they knew they'd be arrested for it. But if they could have, they would have threw rocks and stones and everything else that you could imagine at us yesterday. And they were starting to get pretty heated up. Right. And that's all a biblical response. Now, if you're a professional pastor, though, and you're a hardcore fundamentalist professional pastor that can't be challenged or have a rebuke thrown your way or have reproach thrown your way for Christ's sake, I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. We need to tone that down. Tone that down a little bit. Like on that interview, I mentioned AK-47s, and Brother Paul sent me a message. He called me. You need to tone that down a little bit. That's a little too controversial. But it's those things are a result. Those are reaction to preaching, and they're biblical reactions too. But we've become such a non-confrontational society today in America, that it's creeped into our churches and they don't want any confrontations. They want absolutely no confrontations, churches today. They don't want to fight anything. Yeah, they want the peace of the damned. That's what they want. So churches now, they're no longer fighting anything. They're not confrontational. We just don't think that's a good idea to be that way. We shouldn't be that way with people. Well, Jesus was that way. Stephen was that way. These other preachers at Paul was that way. All the apostles were stoned, murdered, killed, burnt, boiled. But you want the results of having people love you and then repenting. Hey, we like that too. We want to see people repent too. We want to see people get saved too. We want to see people fall under conviction too and get born again by the Spirit of God. That's why we go. But we go also to be obedient to God, and we know that they're going to rage. We know that people are going to be upset. And when you see people in your family, when you play a preaching video or you show them something and they start getting mad about it, well, why do you think they're getting mad? It's not because biblically they can prove something wrong. What is it? Oh, they try to, you know, find some little critique they can try to pick out of it. So then, oh, I know. That's the easier conscience, so you don't have to obey and listen to the truth, right? But nobody's fooled by that. Neither is God. And you're going to be judged by that same thing you just heard and you've ignored. So understand that. That's part of it. And pray. Pray for these people that the cuts heal to a prick and that God doesn't cut them off altogether. They're not, that their rage doesn't lead them to be severed with the sword completely. Because there is a time when you can sin away that day and it's over. I believe that. That's right. Sin away your day of grace. This is to a sermon called God's Three Deadlines. I believe that too. I really do. I've seen people where they get to that point where they're past the point and there's just nothing. You're not going to get anything out of them. They don't get pricked by it. They don't get cut by it. They don't care. But cut to the heart, severed by the sword. That's a biblical response. That's one of the biblical responses to preaching. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words and the truth of them, Lord. And every word matters. We have an every word Bible, and thank you for that, Lord. Father, I just pray that you bless the next hour and bless the time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.